Attention, FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your morning show prep begins now.
And 34 seconds after the hour of 9. And this, the month of April in the year of our Lord 2005. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Max 910 Talk Radio for Guys. It's the Rick Emerson Show here in the backs of the feces-filled Willamette River in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. And like almost everything else in your radio dial at this particular time, everything else having been taped hours ago, now emanating via tape delay from the cold, unthinking heart of a clear channel computer. We appreciate you coming by. It's 503-535-9100. 503-535-9100 if you're outside of the Portland area. It's 1-877-5355-9100. 503-535-9100 in Portland or 1-877-5355-9100. If you'd like to email today, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Your comments, your clarifications, and all of that. All right, so we now are 35 hours away. 35 hours away as of this moment right now. 35 hours away from Listener Party 8, which happens tomorrow, Friday, April 15th. The very first Friday Listener Party ever. Tomorrow, Friday, 8 p.m., the Viper Room, where we were yesterday afternoon. Viper Room on 7th and Hawthorne. Listener Party 8 tomorrow, which concludes with the first ever live Portland broadcast of the Rick Emerson Show. A special nighttime one-hour broadcast, which happens at 10 p.m., tomorrow, and the party sort of continues to grow and become packed with more and more things. So in addition to the Dead Celebrity Costume Contest, which is going on tomorrow, we've got the Xbox giveaway we're doing. We're going to have... We'll have Richie Bristol on later on from Max 910 Promotions to talk about this, but we're going to have all through the evening tomorrow at Listener Party 8, we're going to have side-by-side dueling Xboxes, essentially, which we're going to be outfitting with a bunch of old-school video games. The actual specific game will be determined later on, but during the night, you'll be able to qualify. You'll go up. I think you'll get, 3 minutes? 4 minutes, something like that. 3 minutes on the video game. You get to rack up as high a score as you can. At the end of the evening, the two highest scores will go head-to-head at an old-school video game for a chance at a brand-new Xbox and $50 towards a game. We have a brand-new TiVo we're going to be giving away tomorrow. And lest we forget, tomorrow marks Sarah X. Dillon's last day on the Rick Emerson program before she departs for the bright green glittering pastures of morning television. Leaving us all behind in her star-studded wake.
I'm going to miss this, though.
Yeah.
It's been nice being able to sleep in all week and then just knowing, this is my only job.
So I'm not actually.
But you're going to bring new life to a lackluster television program. Pretty soon she'll be anchoring 6 and 11 o'clock news.
We've been trying so hard not to say that. I'm trying. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday afternoon. I was having lunch with a friend of mine. Trying so hard not to make any comments to that effect.
I've been TiVoing the morning show, and they seem really nice.
Yep.
I'm sure they're nice, charming people. There.
It can only get better.
Mark, one of the co-hosts, he went to Washington State University. So he's one of Dennis's good friends.
I'm sure that they're very polite, and that they're I'm sure that they have a sweet spirit over there. Brave personalities. In any event, coming up today, we have the worst story you've ever heard in your life. We have the...
Where did I put it?
Oh, I've lost it. I've lost this press release that I got. Well, we'll find. We have the worst story of the month. We have a tip for a gift for the loser child in your life. We'll figure out what video game is going to be played tomorrow at the listener party as we endeavor to give away this brand new Xbox. We get a brand new installment of It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. At long last, Jen Lane will be here from Barfly Magazine. We'll talk about the best locations for cheap, sleazy, non-committal pickups in Oregon. Jolie's going to be here. Has Jolie made this noise to you about wanting to do her, wanting to do the How Chicks Think thing tomorrow at the listener party? She was making some...
Oh, you know what? She was wandering aloud the other day, as a matter of fact. So there is a possibility, I guess.
Babbling some... some static to me yesterday about this. So what do you think about me doing the How Chicks Think of the Listener Party? Which seems like a bad idea on almost every conceivable front. We'll find out more about it. So we've got all of that coming up. We may, depending on the amount of time we have today, we may or may not do another exciting installment of Complete This Sentence. Because we've got the pre-party tickets to give away still. Now, we ended up giving away a couple pair yesterday. Some at Billy Reeves last night. Tonight at 8 p.m. I know I'm front-loading the show with a whole bunch of stuff that I'll be able to resell again later. But tonight at Pal Joey's in Gresham, Richie Bristol's going to be there giving away some tickets to the pre-party, which is invitation only. Of course, happens tomorrow before the listener party in an undisclosed location. So details on all of that coming up. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely Sarah X. Dillon. And you know who I saw last night on television?
Who?
Flipping by, and there was... I think it was Carson Daly. Was it a Carson Daly rerun? No, it couldn't have been that. It was something. I saw Richard Cheese on TV last night.
Huh.
That's somebody you're going to miss. You're going to miss the roving, groping, lustful
hands. Oh, I still get drunken phone calls from him every once in a while.
I don't get those. I just get his,
But once he starts covering the entertainment beat.
That's true. Once you inevitably move up to covering the nightlife. In Portland on Coin 6?
Yeah.
Glory of Richard Cheese.
I mean,
Cheese,
you got all these flashy graphics and razzmatazz, and then there's a camera on an old ball guy.
Are you going to get your own logo? Are you going to get the...
No, it's going to say Sarah Dillon at the bottom.
Really? Are you going to have like a little wacky cartoon caricature of you at the bottom?
No.
Like with bright pink hair, like pointing your finger at the camera with big glittery gem earrings?
You can take the one from your webpage.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, it's going to be fantastic.
No, I can't wear my big shiny hoops because they glitter too much and they're too distracting, so I have to wear small earrings.
Now, was this you speculating about television or they told you this?
No, they told me this, that they're... Because, I mean, you've seen my earrings. They're huge.
Yeah.
And shiny and distracting.
Well, that's what makes you, though. It's what gives you your unique and distinct style, the distinctive look and feel of Sarah Dillon. So they're going to take you out and are they going to completely make you... Are you going to have to get the TVI for the straight girl or whatever?
Yeah, I have to. I'm meeting with their fashion consultant.
Fashion consultant. You are.
And then I have to go purchase television
clothes
with my empty bank account.
What if they just make you wear a bunch of navy blue and like taupe? What if you're.
Because, Rick, I don't want to wear navy blue or taupe or anything with shoulder pads.
Well, you know, the long list of things that we end up doing in broadcasting that we don't want to do, that list is endless, my friends.
I'm just going to wear black every day. It's just something nice and simple. Yeah.
Well, there you go. And that's a slimming color, too. Not that, you know, because you know the
Tamara
television.
Tamara does add 10 pounds.
I'm just saying.
I know.
All right.
I'm going to become anorexic before you know it.
Good time. Tim Riley's in the Max 910 newsroom working on the following stories today.
Well, a follow-up to a story we had yesterday. Wisconsin's governor won't let people kill wandering pussycats at random.
Man, not yet.
20 firefighters helped bring an 800-pound man to his doctor's appointment. And we have for you to hear a 911 from Texas, where a dispatcher offers to send someone over to kill a mischievous teenager.
That's fantastic. Where was that service when I was growing up? All right, so that is all coming up, plus Jolie, plus Jen Lane, plus the worst song you've ever heard, plus more details. The Brian the Bling Master is going to be in the studio with us later on, which is always a treat, to talk about the pre-party tickets which we're giving away tonight. We were at the Viper Room yesterday afternoon, which is a cool place, by the way, and every time I go there, I like it more. I've seen the area where they're going to be doing the old school video game contest to give away this Xbox, and it's just sort of down on the downstairs. They've got this alcove area with these two big flat panel TV screens right above it, right by that big long black marble bar. The cool thing about the Viper Room is that because it's a split level place, it's on two different levels. If you're downstairs, you'll be able to see everything that's going on upstairs, but you're not going to have to be, like, right in the thick of it if you don't want to. So there's two separate areas, an upstairs, and you go down the staircase, and there's a downstairs area. But the downstairs area has got 5 TV screens that I can think of, one of which is, I think, is 130 inches, 150 inches, something like that. So you'll be able to see what's going on no matter where you are in the place. But if you kind of want to get away from the crowd, go downstairs. Of course, the downstairs might be crowded, too. I don't know. When is it they're opening the doors tomorrow? Does anybody know
7,
that?
7, I believe.
Is it 7?
I think it's 7.
It would be my...
They have comfy chairs, too.
It would be my strong... You know what they've got in that place? I mean, just call it what it is. They've got strip club furniture in there, which is fantastic, because there's no furniture. What everyone thinks about hanging out at a strip club, they've got fantastic couches in those places. Those couches you can just sink down in like you're sinking into a bowl of black marshmallow cream. But it would be my strong urging that you show up early. tomorrow. That'd be my speculation that it's going to be a little crowded. And you don't want to be standing outside. You don't want to be standing outside some weird Nicole Brown Simpson outfit. That's not going to work well. 503-535-9100. Let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Tim Riley around the corner in the 9 o'clock news. Live from Portland, my friends. It is the Rick Emerson Show right here on Max 910. You stay there. Here's the man song, Trey Parker. Back after this.
Hey! Makes a man, is it the power in his hands? Is it his quest for glory? Give it all you got to fight to the top so we can know your story. Now you're a man, a man's man, a man. Now you're a man, a manny, manny, man, a man, man, man. You are now a man, you're a man.
So Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Don't go anywhere. We are back after this with Tim Riley in the 9 o'clock news. Stay there. Don't go anywhere.
Live it. Live it.
It's 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. Of course, we should change that thing while I'm thinking about it. That thing about the new Britney photos is going to be need to be changed quickly, or else it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be changed quickly. Thousands of terabytes of stretch marks. That's all it's going to be. So of course, by saying out loud that it needs to be fixed, of course that'll happen right away. Any minute now. As soon as you mention production problems on the air in the station, they are handled quickly and efficiently.
Yeah. Jason Parrish does handle things quickly and efficiently.
I don't think he's involved in this.
Here's Tim Riley.
It's not just news. It's news that hurts. Tim Riley, only on Max 910.
Not that he does do a splendid job with many other things, but that is not one of his tasks.
Of course.
Assigned tasks, anyway. Sometimes he does a little extra. Well, about 3,000 gay couples in Oregon who thought they were legally married are finding out they aren't. The state Supreme Court moments ago nullified marriage licenses that had been issued to same-sex couples in Multnomah County a year ago. The court said the county didn't have the authority to issue the licenses. In particular, the court ruled that while a county can question the constitutionality of laws governing marriage, the laws are a matter of statewide concern. The court also noted that Oregon voters approved a constitutional amendment last November, but that was after this happened, and limits marriage to a man and a woman.
I know thousands of straight people who would love to have their marriages instantly nullified. I wonder if they can get in on this. Does this go that... See, I'm unclear about how this works, because then the deal is that it gets appealed... What, does it get appealed somewhere else? Because
this is the end.
Well, but it's like the Terry Schiavo thing. Like, the state Supreme Court told the Schindlers to F off, but then they went to whatever, didn't they appeal it upward? To the federal Supreme Court?
I suppose.
Not that that's really going to do any good at this particular point in time.
Well, the governor is going for that civil union thing, which are words that people find more palatable than
civil union. That's the separate bit. That's the you black people have your own school that's just as good down the road somewhere.
Yeah.
Just
don't sit next to my children.
All right,
it's to make people over 40 happy.
All right,
we don't want to upset their world. let's see, what do we have here? Oh, let's talk about what's going on in aviation today. Leave your lighters at home if you go to the airport. Aviation security talking heads say today's ban on lighters at airports is ridiculous.
This whole thing is a PR stunt. It's another indication of just how totally out of control our security is. Taking a BIC away from a terrorist doesn't do anything for anybody. Again, it's mostly show and not a lot of go.
Well, thank you. They can't actually solve any of the real problems that are going on, and so they'll focus on this one completely insignificant, pointless, useless, but solvable problem.
But here's the other part that they're not telling you. Sarah Gu of the Washington Post says it's still okay to bring matches.
So what's ironic is that lighters are now going to be banned today, but passengers can still bring matches on board. So I think there's a little bit of confusion about, is this really smart? Are they going to eventually ban matches as well? What is the direction here? And really, what's left is a confused message.
Didn't the foot bomber have matches?
Banning matches? He wasn't even using a lighter. You are correct about that, Tim Riley.
That's what I thought.
Any goddamn sense at all. I will guarantee you that as soon as they do this, the price of cigarette lighters in the airport is going to go up, since that's clearly a part and parcel of what they're saying. But you know what this is like? And I don't mean to... And I don't mean to knock on the Portland police because they how do I put this? It's the Portland police did locate my truck when it was stolen, whatever, last month.
Yes.
Of course, it should also be noted that they didn't really have to do anything to get the truck back. Basically, it amounted to them going, oh, hey, look over there. There it is by the side of the road. And then letting me know so I could go pick it up from the towing place. So it effectively amounted to noticing the car sitting there in the middle of Ladd's Edition, like parked illegally, where it would have been towed anyway, and then calling me up on the cell phone and letting me know about that. That notwithstanding, they've been doing this thing all through my neighborhood in Southeast, which many other people in my neighborhood may have seen, where they're coming through and as opposed to just actually having more police there to stop the cars from being stolen in the first place, they've got a lot of officers on foot and in cars rolling through my neighborhood every day, all day this week, distributing McGruff the Crime Dog stickers that say things like, if you see a car being stolen, please, and then giving the tips on how not to have your car stolen. Like, if you have a garage, park inside. Park underneath a streetlight.
Have a neighborhood bake sale.
So there you go. So that's sort of they can't actually do anything about the real problem. So they'll fix this one tiny cosmetic but ultimately pointless and useless thing. So there you go.
Every time you see McGruff the Crime Dog, you know they're unstoppable problems.
Yeah, and here's the thing I keep waiting for. And I'm not saying that this should happen. I'm not encouraging it or advocating it. I'm not trying to speed this along. I'm telling you it's an eventuality, and I'm just waiting for the day when somebody dressed as McGruff the Crime Dog is caught exposing himself to some small girl somewhere, knocking over a liquor store.
It'd be like Tom DeLay.
It hadn't happened yet. But you know that it's only a matter of time. The clock is ticking till some guy dressed as McGruff the Crime Dog robs a bank and shoots a teller in the face. That's going to be some surveillance video that's going to be a hot property all over the Internet.
Time for the Jackson Watch.
Here's your Jackson Watch for Thursday.
Of Michael Jackson's teen accuser, sobbing at times, told a jury yesterday that the pop star and his henchmen put furious pressure on her family to help exonerate Jackson and terrified her with tales of mysterious killers out to get them. And sometimes overwrought testimony interrupted by tears, rambling asides, and outbursts directed across the courtroom at Jackson. The woman also begged jurors for understanding as she told of failing to intervene when she saw the singer licking her son's head on a private jet.
His head tastes really good, Your Honor. What was that going to do?
Please, please don't judge me. At that time, I hadn't slept for so long, she pled to the jurors, fanning her face with her hands and choking back sobs as she recalled the incident on the late-night flight from Miami to Jackson's Neverland Ranch in February 2003. She said her 13-year-old son, other passengers, and flight attendants were all asleep on the chartered jet when she looked around the plane where the boy was sitting by Jackson. That's when I saw Michael licking his head.
How many times has the phrase licking his head come up on... That's... You know, last year we didn't know that phrase. We never anticipated that phrase being used. Now, it's like every 12 hours of my life, I get to hear about Michael Jackson's pink, slithery, snake-like tongue is coming out of his head and licking the side of the face of some small child. Look, I pride myself on being up to speed about and aware of all kinds of deviance. Things that don't even interest me, I try to be aware of. Plushies, we understand it. Furries, we understand it. Guys into being, having some hobnailed boot driven into a sensitive part of their anatomy, that's fine. I just like to be aware of all these things, to have some sort of a working knowledge of them. And never in my many thousands of hours of surveying the Internet for all manner of sexual perversion have I ever discovered this about somebody just licking a small child's head. I don't even really know where the thrill is to be derived from that. Even if he's a soft and tasty child, I don't really understand. You can't really have succulent... You can't really have a succulent bee stung side of your head. Doesn't really work that way.
But if drenched in dozens of herbs and spices.
If the child was basted with some sort of a sauce.
The woman's younger son has testified to the head licking, but the flight attendant said she saw no intimate contact. Is that intimate contact, head licking?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I guess it is. I guess it's a thing you wouldn't like if you just woke up and somebody was doing it to you, but...
All right, are we more here?
We have an attorney commenting on the case.
She seems so incredible that she might just appear to this jury to be credible. I mean, the problem is, at times she seems to resonate truth. At times she seems to be genuine. And it could very well be that she means it, that she believes it.
All right. Okay.
So it gets more fun as the days go on.
All right.
That's today's Jackson
Watch. There's your Jackson Watch for Thursday. Email says, Rick, about Sarah on television. I guess it's true. Pretty people broadcast on television. Not so pretty people stay on the radio. Have you had any TV offers, Rick? I wonder what that means. By the way, Sarah, it's sad Sarah's going to be gone from us forever. No more real Sarah, only plastic pretend Sarah. Just talking head Sarah. Then he says, we will miss you. That's John in Phoenix listening to us there. Here's,
how about a Sarah Dillon, Clyde Lewis dream team? Doing the evening news.
I don't know that that's a thing that that people want to see.
I don't know that that's a thing.
Clyde only works well in certain environments. Anything where Clyde can sort of skulk in the background like some sort of horny toad, you know? you know what I'm saying? It's like Sarah wouldn't work well on, like Sarah wouldn't work well standing by the shores of Loch Ness or something, or, you know? And Clyde doesn't. You know what Clyde is some sort of like a department store talking about? It's back to school time. Let's see what children are wearing. Everybody's got their own sort of environment and zone that they function in. And I don't really know that people want to see Clyde on television doing the morning traffic. I don't know. That's not a thing that's going to aid in digestion of anything.
Well, a Santa Fe man who was already blind in his right eye was shot with a...
This is... I got to give you a little advance. Mm-hmm. This is the best story and worst story of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So this is prepared. This is the no matter who you are in your life, you're not this guy story.
A Santa Fe man who was already blind in his right eye was shot with a pellet gun in his left eye. 35-year-old Kevin Blankens was shot several times with a pellet gun Tuesday afternoon. He was jogging along an intersection. He was already blind in his right eye because of a fireworks accident. He was hit in the left eye by one of the pellets. He was able to make it to a nearby park where city workers called an ambulance.
Which is pretty impressive.
He doesn't recall seeing anyone before the attack.
Or after.
Anyone with information is asked to call Santa Fe Police.
All right, there you go.
Meanwhile, from California comes word, a ninth grade student has accused officials at a Southern California high school of discrimination for suspending him for wearing lipstick and eye makeup. James Herndon said the five-day suspension imposed Monday by administrators of the school was unfair because females are allowed to wear cosmetics on campus. If I can't wear makeup, then the girls and the staff can't wear makeup. Herndon said his black lipstick and red eye makeup express the Wiccan religious beliefs he shares with his mother, a priestess in the neo-pagan faith.
I hate Wiccans.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I know it's wrong. I know that I shouldn't. I know that I don't have any rational reason to dislike Wiccans, but I do, and so do you. You know that you don't like Wiccans either. They bug me for reasons I can't quite quantify.
A proposal to legalize the killing of loose cats is not going to succeed. Governor Jim Doyle of Wisconsin says, I don't think Wisconsin should be known as a state that kills cats. What does it say for us as a state that anyone can do this? Now everyone's laughing at us as Wisconsinians. He told reporters his office has received calls from around the country denouncing a proposal adopted Monday at meetings of the Conservation Congress. Now, okay, here are some very strange numbers. Estimates say that the wildcats roaming in Wisconsin are killing between 47 million and 139 million songbirds a year.
Well, then
which is it?
So they're, what, 47 million and what?
They kill from 47 million to 139 million songbirds. Is somebody counting these dead songbirds? Are they lining these up in some parking lot somewhere?
You and I have both. I mean, everybody's lived in that neighborhood, man. With this just like wild, which is not a thing that happens with most other. And it's not like you're ever living in a neighborhood where there's wild gerbils everywhere or something. It's just, you know, that you're being overrun by chinchillas. I mean, it's only cats. It's not even really dogs. You see the occasional stray dog somewhere, but cats, man, the cats are just. They're just big furry parasites. Everybody knows that. That's the and cat people.
Man, I don't know whether it's a thing where the cat people are all stupid hippies or whether they're all just poor white trash. I don't know what it is. But what is it with cat people who never get their animals fixed? You know, people who have dogs, not all of them, people who have dogs largely will go and get the cat, as Bob Barker says, be sure to get your dogs spayed or neutered. And people who have other animals, and again, it's not like some guy that has a pet wildebeest is going to let it go out there and just multiply over the neighborhood. But man, cat people seem to find it inexplicably charming to have their cats unfixed and then just spawning all over God's own creation, which is why, you know, which is why you see them everywhere. So, and they're decimating? He said they're decimating the entire bird population, right?
Between 47 million and 139 million.
Yeah, and it would have made, there's already like two other states where you can...
You'd have to go to other states to see birds.
You can do it. And there's only a few things to really recommend living in Wisconsin anyway. I mean, so if you take away the birds, there's just cheese, and that's it. That's the end of it. So,
well, South Dakota and Minnesota do allow cats to be shot. All right. And nobody's complaining about that.
Well, that's going to be my platform when I run. Rick! I'd like to help donate to the Sarah Dillon TV Fund. In case she hasn't fulfilled her push-up commitment to you in the radio, I'd be happy to help donate to her official push-up fund. We'll make a TV appearance is that much better. So this is... Oh, that's right. You still owe me a push-up.
No, my friend. It's reversed. I don't owe you anything. You owe me.
Now, I owe you some. That is true. I won't deny that, but I believe you and Kyle...
No, Kyle and I traded in our push-ups. Like, we went all or nothing. Or double or nothing, and we won.
That's not true.
Yes, it is, because at some interview, you didn't get all five of the things that you had to say.
But it wasn't the double or nothing. Wasn't it I was going to knock like five or six off the list?
No, it was double or nothing.
You're just saying that because I don't know any better. That's the only reason you're saying that is because I don't have any.
It's true.
I don't have anything showing to the contrary. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, firefighters used special equipment borrowed from the National Aquarium to remove an 800-pound man who had not left his home for 2 years. About 20 firefighters reportedly worked for 3 hours to remove John Kites, who's 38, from his home. Crews in the Baltimore County Fire Department were forced to remove doors from the apartment and used a sling provided by the aquarium, usually to move whales, to move the man to a truck.
Man, they used a thing. Pardon me, do you have the whale-moving mechanism? We're having a little bit of trouble lifting you up.
The family asked for help so he could make it to a doctor's appointment for a weight-related medical procedure. This may be a little late.
I think that goes without saying, too. You think they really needed to point out that it's a weight-related problem? What is it? Where is he at? Where does he live?
Baltimore.
And he weighs how much?
800 pounds.
It's fantastic. Did it say that they had to remove the door?
Yeah. It looks like they loaded him in the back of some Sanford and Sons pickup truck to haul him away.
Oh, that's fantastic. Worked for 3 hours. Got an 800-pound man. Forced to remove doors from the apartment and use a sling. Use a sling provided by the aquarium. Oh, that's fantastic. He's at the Bayview Hospital. He's being treated for fluid buildup. What a fantastic phrase that is. All right, there you go. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. We have more coming up.
911 audio.
We have this fantastic 911 call, Darwin Watch, Religious Nutcase Watch. All of that is coming up later on, Jen Lane. Jolie will be here as well. And we'll talk more about Listener Party 8, which happens tomorrow night at 8 p.m. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Don't go anywhere. Rick, in the past, I would listen to Sarah on the radio and fantasize about what she was wearing. Now I'll watch her on television with the volume turned all the way down and my slippers with a bottle of vodka
extra lime, and a soft, soft towel. Side Andy. Here's Tim Riley, the Max 9. F Matt with a streaked TV screen.
This F Matt is brought to you by Barfly Magazine.
Here's Tim Riley, the Max 9 10 newsroom.
Dateline, Texas, a 911 dispatcher was reprimanded for responding to a mother's plea for help by saying, okay, do you want us to come over there and shoot her?
Now, this is, you have sound on
that. I have
right?
sound. I admit what I did. It was stupid, inexcusable, and I am sorry, says dispatcher Mark Forbes. The woman identified only
I'm sorry?
As
dispatcher who?
Mike Forbes.
Oh, okay. Now, Mike
I thought
Forbes.
You said Mark.
I, you know, I might have.
I thought you meant. I thought you said Mark Forbes from Max 910 Sales.
Yep.
All right.
But it'd be too far for him to worry. The woman identified only as Lori in Wednesday's Fort Worth Star-Telegram said she recently phoned authorities after coming home and finding her daughter's fighting. She told the dispatcher that a 12-year-old had kicked a hole in the wall. After Forbes' comment, the woman fell silent for about 5 seconds. Here's the call.
The 12-year-old is completely out of control, and I can't physically, if she's as big as I am, I can't control her.
Okay, did you want us to come over to shoot her? Are you there?
Excuse me?
That's a joke.
It's really not very funny.
I know it's not, ma'am.
Guess what? It's not going to be very funny when I go in front of your supervisor and tell him.
I understand.
I guess he can just listen to the tape.
Yes, he can.
Oh, that's...
This type of response cannot be tolerated, and this letter will serve as notice that any future unprofessional responses while answering the 911 line will be cause for termination, says Mr. David Ben-Lar.
Well, you know, you can't, on the one hand, you can't call 911 because your 12-year-old's a little bastard that you've raised incorrectly and complain that he needs to be subdued physically.
No, it was
somehow.
A woman. It was a girl.
Right, but I mean, well, but it's a kid, right? Like, because she's calling because she can't, well, it's even less excusable. She's calling because she can't control the 12-year-old. What does she suggest that they do? It certainly sounds like she wants the kid to be put down with a cattle prod or something, so... You know, what are you going to do? The guy's just trying to be helpful. I think we could stand to shoot some more 12-year-olds in this country. You know what I mean? The whole bunch in my neighborhood. Well, no, I mean, shoot them full of love. Shoot them a smile.
Well, you know, they're getting high. They're snorting that whiteout stuff. It happened at that Sherwood school.
Seriously. No, I'm telling you, man, you take a cattle prod to a few 12-year-olds, the rest start to shape up really quickly. You in my neighborhood.
How about if they sent to a convent until they're 21?
That mess, you know, anything to keep them from mugging me when I'm at a stoplight in Southeast. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think we could use it a few more children being prodded. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for the Darwin Watch.
Go, go, go. I ate all my cats. Go, go, go. My parents won't let me use scissors.
Another one bites the dust. Another one
bites
the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
Hail. Ow, my heart just stopped. Ah, there it goes.
This comes to us from Britain. A young mum was run over and killed by her own car after broken parts sparked a freak chain reaction. Allison Taylor's Peugeot wouldn't start, so she got out and banged on the engine with a hammer. But the blow triggered the broken starter motor, and because the keys were still in the ignition, the engine started. The handbrake should have stopped the car lurching forward, but it was broken as well. Even then, the momentum of the car would not have been enough to cause a problem. Allison, 36, tried to steady herself and accidentally grabbed the throttle cable. As her elderly mother watched in horror, the car sped over her, killing her instantly.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's like death by Rube Goldberg.
I heard a sound that sounded like a washing machine on a very high spin, said her mom.
Jesus. Terrible. It's the worst thing I've ever heard. You know what it is that every so often I think God just gets bored with just smiting people the old-fashioned way. He can't just constantly use cancer and meteorites. He's got to find some interesting way to rid humanity of spare people that are just sitting around. So, I mean, really, if you got to die, that's, you know, at least something good came of it. At least some radio fodder came out of your death. So there is that small mercy to be thankful for. That's genius. Here's a little advice from me to you.
Yes.
When your car isn't working, don't A, try to cure it by banging on the engine wildly with a hammer. B, don't leave the keys in the engine if you're going to do that. C, when you're falling, try not to grab the throttle cable.
I mean, any one of these things might have given the story a bit of a happier ending. Our good friend Dennis Pitzenberger, of course, weighing in on the story from the Portland Tribune. How are you, sir?
That is spectacular.
Isn't that great?
There is no other way that I would want to see somebody get snuffed than I could just, I mean, I would give any amount of money to get the video and audio on that of some woman banging on their engine with a hammer, grabbing cable wild. Yeah, I wonder if this giant throttle cable will help.
Well, the idea that whatever's wrong with your car is going to be fixed by you whammering on the engine with a mallet.
Oh, that does seem to be classic.
You know, it's not a Japanese transistor radio. It doesn't. It's not a horse. It's not gonna perk up if you just decide to take a boot to it and start beating on it savagely.
No, and I wonder. You know, it just kind of explains why Peugeot just isn't in business in the States anymore.
Yes, there you go, my friend. There you go. Are you gonna be at the listener party tomorrow? That's the big question.
Yes, I will be there in a limited fashion because the Viper Room. I don't know how smoky it is, but. For those that don't know, you know, Brandy's pregnant, so I don't really feel like getting any birth defects and putting my, exposing my unborn child to a pack of Marlboros.
Yeah, well, I guess you don't want the kid to come out all smoked like a piece of ham, so.
No, but I will make an appearance, and I'll have to call back and get the secret location to the pre-party.
Yeah, okay. There you go. There's Dennis. Rick, quit saying we should prod children and shoot them full of love. It makes me feel oogie. Not that kind of love.
That sounds wrong.
Not the bad love.
Not the hidden-looking love.
I mean the
what's
good.
What's the good the love?
The good love. No, if you see the sheriff, shoot him. A smile. It's Marge Simpson in the, I can't do the Marge Simpson voice. You know, in The Simpsons, the musical where they did the thing?
No.
All right, well, whatever. Here's Tim Riley, the Max 910 newsroom.
Well, let's see what's on the TV. The Office is on again tonight. I don't know if it's a rerun or...
Is this the NBC?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've officially moved on.
How about if they did an American version of Fawlty Towers, but you watch
they've
it?
They've done three American versions of Fawlty Towers.
Seriously?
No, they have. This is why... I mean, we talked about this at the time, I think, when The Office was going to launch, that they moved over Sanford and Son, which worked, All in the Family, which worked, Three's Company, which worked. I think those are the only three Britcoms that have ever been turned into American sitcoms. But even then, it's like I've never seen the British version, so who am I to say? It's hard to imagine anything being better than the American All in the Family, but you never know. But the number of British sitcoms that they've either tried to convert and failed or they've never even bothered is legion. Fawlty Towers, which is considered by many people to be the greatest sitcom in all of television history.
I would say so.
Yeah, they've tried three different times to make that into an American one. The last one was just a couple years ago, like 3-4 years ago. It was like with Tim Curry or something. It's just some terrible idea. They did one with Harvey Korman and B. Arthur in like 1983. They did one with Tommy Chong. No, not Tommy Chong, Cheech Marin. It wasn't Chong, it was Cheech. They went with Cheech Marin. Each sitcom less inspired than the last, each more tedious than the last. All of them ill-conceived and misguided. I just hope that, I mean, it seems like after three tries to make something good for the American audience, you ought to just give up and they'd wash your hands of the entire thing.
Here's how the Americans do well, a John Wayne movie entitled The Green Beret.
There you go.
It's on tonight.
That's something they can't make in Britain.
1968, two stars. A true Hollywood story, the actors in the series Full House meet with various successes after the show ends. Snakehead Terror.
What are the various successes that the Full House cast members encounter after they leave?
I'm not sure.
Full House is Kirk Cameron, right?
No.
Do we have the problem again? Last week I was confusing.
It's John Stamos.
I always confuse Growing Pains and Full House.
No, Full House, Olsen twins, and John Stamos.
All right, okay. Well, they do have it. Man, did you see that Ashley Simpson, Mary-Kate Ashley Simpson fragrance that's out?
No.
I was at the Fred Meyer something the other day. Was
Ashley
that?
Simpson or Ashley Olsen?
Ashley Olsen,
okay.
I guess. Yeah, I was buying like a deodorant or something, and like right above it, there's the Mary-Kate and Ashley
Why do you
Olsen?
Think they're billionaires? That's what they do. That's what they make their money on.
It's creepy, too, because they're like 19 or something, or 20? Mm-hmm. This weird thing where they're all like with a plunging neckline, but they look like they're about 9. I mean, there's a whole weird thing going on with that. Here's Tim Riley.
So there's a motion picture, Snakehead Terror, on tonight. A small-town Maryland sheriff tries to kill mutilated fish that can survive out of water.
Excellent. Wait, when was Mansquito on?
Mansquito.
Mansquito. When was it on?
I don't know. I just greenballed it when I was going through.
Okay. Well, theoretically.
Coming up sometime.
Well, theoretically,
Wait, but so it hasn't actually been on, or has it taped?
No, I think I don't know if it's been on yet. I wasn't able to check my TiVo this morning.
All right, okay. So, but you saw it in the coming up.
Yes.
Excellent. See, because I've got the thing on the TiVo set for, because I missed it the last time. I didn't enter it.
Please don't tell me you're searching for Mansquito.
No, I don't have to search. I just set it to tape. So the next time it comes up, because that's the thing with the TiVos, you set something to tape, and then you miss it by whatever. Because I had set Mansquito to record here through TiVo.com, but I had missed the window by like an hour. I was like an hour too late. And I missed the daily update, and I forgot about it later, and I didn't get a chance to save it. But the great thing is, if you do that, it'll just sit there. And it'll sit there and wait patiently, like Viet Cong in the brush, just waiting for it to walk by. And so as soon as that show comes on again, the TiVo will tape it.
Snake King is on, starring Stephen Baldwin, one of the Baldwin brothers. Scientists encounter a deadly multi-headed serpent as they search the Amazon for the Fountain of Youth. Now, what else is on to that? On the last days of World War II, Hitler commits suicide.
There you go.
Which is every third program on the History Channel.
No, this is World War II, week by week.
Oh, I see. Yeah. This is when they're not doing Stalin, Man of Steel.
That was a good one, too. Ryan Reynolds, who played in Van Wilder, plays George Lutz, a man who descends into madness after moving into a house with a historic... Oh, this is the Amityville Horror.
Horrible Amityville Horror remake. Mm-hmm.
Please share your thoughts on the supernatural and the account of the Lutz.
I don't play the supernatural once in this movie. I mean, I'm sorry to ask. I mean, I played the entire thing, at least in my eyes, was just a psychological unraveling. I let the director shoot the horror movie. I just, you know, I can't. I mean, I don't know what that means. If he says the demons are creeping up your nose and into your brain in the scene, I could, what are you talking about? You know, I played him as though he was having a nervous breakdown throughout the whole movie. And he was just losing his mind. So, you know, I just played the madness of him. And I let the director shoot the horror movie. And that was our agreement going in. And I feel like it worked for us.
Speaking of the History Channel, they have this great series called History's Mysteries, which I watch constantly. And History's Mysteries is fantastic. Although lately they've been on this, where every episode they show is that one, The Search for Noah's Ark, which I find myself watching, like, for no reason, like, I don't know why I watch it, and I don't know if you all do the same thing, but it's like how I watch
it. Yeah, it's like a true Hollywood story.
Yeah, but it's like you're never going to... Clearly, they have not found Noah's Ark. That's the sort of thing that I think would have been reported somewhere. It hadn't happened. It's not going to... Especially when you look at the... Like on the TiVo, you can look at the on-screen program information, and it says, like, The Search for Noah's Ark, 1997. And the thing is, like, almost 10 years old regardless. It is... Not really any new scintillating information about the hunt for Noah's Ark. And yet I sit there and I watch it anyway, searching for a goddamn thing that doesn't exist that they're not going to find on a program that's a decade old anyway. And I sit there and I watch it all. And as they go into the commercial breaks, coming up, have we found Noah's Ark? You know, and then they come back. No, we haven't. But I sit there and I'll watch it for 2 hours. So it is with the Amityville Horror on History's Mysteries, where I've seen this Amityville Horror expose, I don't know, like 8 or 9 times so far. And 8 or 9 times so far. And they've talked about the Lutzes, who are clearly, I mean, they're not even good liars. George and Kathy Lutz were the people who lived in the Amityville house for whatever 28 days or however long it was before they ran away, are clearly such like white trash manipulators who have just fabricated this entire thing to get out under this mountain of debt that they got into by moving into a house that they couldn't afford. I mean, it's not even a convincing fake story, but it's, you know, bully for them. I mean, it's what they've made like 5 books and 3 movies out of it.
Say, Ryan, anything bizarre happened during the filming of this movie?
I do believe that there are energies out there, and, you know, I mean, I think anyone that moves into a house that 6 brutal murders took place in, I mean, you're just asking to experience something dark. I mean, you know, do I believe what happened to George and Kathy Lutz was, you know, factual from the get-go according to that book or what their accounting was? I don't know. I mean, that's not really for me to decide, but I do believe that they experienced something terrible in that house, and I believe that, you know, anyone that leaves a house that they just bought after 28 days, leaving every possession they own in there, obviously saw something and were probably not ready to gamble, you know, all of that wealth, you know, in favor of hopefully getting a book deal or something.
Yes, it's called bankruptcy. Rick, about Mansquito. It's a rerun. It's first time on the Sci-Fi Channel. We missed the exciting premiere of Mansquito, which, pardon me, it was a few weeks ago on a Saturday, which is when Sci-Fi plays their original Sci-Fi movies. Get with the program, please. P.S., what is the cover charge for the listener party? Who wants to handle this question about the cover charge for the listener party?
I'll take it.
Sarah Dillon, in the
back? There will be no cover charge. It is free, and parking is free because it's going to be... there are a lot of like little neighborhoods right around that area, too. You can park in.
Our gift to you, because Rick Emerson cares about each and every one of you. That is Listener Party 8, which comes up 34 hours from now. It is 34 hours away, 8 p.m. tomorrow, Friday, April 15th, at the Viper Room on 7th and Hawthorne.
Oh, listen to this. You can save all this money by going to the listener party and not going to see Sahara, which is out this weekend still. Penelope Cruz plays a U.N. scientist who is in Africa searching for answers to a mysterious disease that causes death and madness. Yes, along the way, she teams up with an adventurer named Dirk, who is Matthew McConaughey. Who's in the desert searching for treasure.
What has Penelope Cruz ever done that might make me... I mean, I know who she is, but what has she ever done that I might have seen her in?
Oh, I don't know.
Anyone? What has Penelope Cruz done?
It says Captain Corelli's mandolin.
She was in Vanilla Sky.
Captain Corelli's mandolin. All I know of Captain Corelli's mandolin is what everybody knows of Captain Corelli's mandolin, which is A... It was like 3 years ago, whenever the hell that movie came out. It's like you could not go to see... any film in the theater where you were not subjected to that stupid goddamn preview with Nicolas Cage marching formation saying that blah 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 bambino 3 o'clock or whatever the hell that was. And then she was in what? Was she in Vanilla Sky?
Yeah, that's how her and Tom Cruise met.
All right. All right, so there you go. So I guess I just know her because she's the weird insecty girl that was humping Tom Cruise. That's it. That's the extent of my Penelope Cruise knowledge.
Penelope, what was it like filming with camels?
I feel I'm lucky because I have an adventurous personality and a curious personality, and I want to know all those places and really experience what it is to be there. And I really don't mind, you know, the days we have to sleep in tents or in the trailers. I look at it as a great adventure. Maybe I wouldn't do it if I wasn't forced to do it in a situation like that. And it's a great adventure, and you wake up with the sunrise and just an amazing experience.
Will you please buy some chiclets? I am tired of eating clods. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Penelope says she tries not to pay attention to gossip and tabloid rumors.
It's very different. I was good with horses, but then when I got there and I got on the camel the first day, I saw it was double the height, and it was very scary. So you have to start from zero again, and we trained for a couple of months before we did that scene.
I think I asked her the wrong question.
But then I loved doing that scene. And you can really tell when you watch the movie, you can really tell that it was us doing it.
Do you have $15? A coyote is holding my sister hostage.
Have a beautiful blanket for sale.
Your child would love this imitation Pikachu doll. Only $3. Oh, now she's become Asian. Now that accent somehow became the Asian storekeeper halfway through. All right, I'm sorry. That's my fault as a comic. By the way, you're listening to Cave to Cave. Where the hell are we? Vancouver, Portland?
Yeah.
Cave to Cave, Vancouver, Portland, Caslem, Salem, and Intercom Station.
Time for a double religious nutcase watch.
Is your religious nutcase watch for Thursday in the Rick Emerson Show.
Can Dong to kill his 8-year-old nephew because the boy was practicing black magic on him and had given him a runny nose. Can Dong is a diagnosed schizophrenic who says his mind was being controlled at the time.
Should have called 911.
He spoke in a rambling and emotional manner about how Bom Kop Deng died. The 21-year-old man told his lawyer, the prosecutor, how he lured the boy upstairs to his sister's home and drowned him. God told me to hurt this boy so I could go to court, Cam Dung told him. It was not my wish to do it. I got angry. He said, the young boy deserved to die. He said, matter-of-factly, it was not my responsibility. God was telling me to do it.
Now, page two.
A talking Jesus doll is due to go on sale in May, along with versions of Moses, the Virgin Mary, and David, and a teddy bear maker tries to find a market with churches and religious families. This is a foot-tall Jesus doll. It's able to recite 5 biblical verses at the push of a button on its back, Well, the Moses doll will recite the Ten Commandments.
We've actually got, what is the name of the company? Is it One to Believe? What is the name of the company?
Let's see here. I'm looking here.
It says in there somewhere what the name of the company is that's marketing the Jesus doll.
I'm looking. Goes in Toys R Us.
Let me see. I think it's in here somewhere. Let's see. Yeah, it's one. Sarah, go to this website. It's one, O-N-E, two, the letter two, believe. One, two, believe. Right there. If you go to one, two, believe, I believe they've actually got...
You mean the number two?
Yeah. Yeah, it's O-N-E, two, believe. And I believe they've... I think they've got it there, because they have... There's like a talking Jesus, and it really is like what... It's like for the Ralph
God
Wiggum.
God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son.
Now, is this the Jesus doll?
Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
All right, I'm looking at your screen right now. First of all, the Jesus doll, A, has the most brilliant blue eyes you've ever, as many people in
Mary
the Middle East.
Mary is hating
do.
It. Look at her.
Mary looks like some sort of waxy stuffed corpse.
Ew, she has like white dead lips and creepy beady eyes.
She's like a goth Mary. Undead mother of God. But Jesus looks like Alan Rickman in Die Hard. Except that he's got these like fluorescent blue eyes. He's like unearthly
and a soul patch.
Blue eyes, as everyone in Jerusalem does.
Maybe they're blue contacts.
Yeah. So they've got Jesus, David, Mary, and Moses. Collectible talking figures that recite verses from the Bible. 12 inches tall, highly detailed, and fully posable. It's like a Jesus with a kung fu grip.
I wonder if they have built on underwear.
Perfect as an entertaining way to teach children the lessons of the Bible. Great, and this is part of a series. This is the Messengers of Faith series. You can see these, by the way, if you go to 1tobelieve.com, and that's the letter 2, or the number 2, rather. 1tobelieve.com.
Can we hear Mary?
I can't fathom the loser child and how excoriated you would be by your peer group if this is what you came back to school with after Christmas. What does Mary say?
My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant.
If you have a Visa card,
on,
we can talk more.
All generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name.
To request your love song.
She needs to be a little more enthusiastic.
Seriously. Charges will begin if you don't call. Hang up right now, baby.
Can we please listen to Moses?
Yes. Okay, these are the Messengers of Faith dolls from...
You shall have no other gods before me.
Yeah.
James Earl Jones.
All right. This is CNN.
Seriously.
All Moses says.
What is Moses? Try Moses again.
You shall have no other gods before me.
But who is this David character?
This doll is... Who's this David character? You're Catholic. This doll is action-packed. All right, let's try the David doll.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want.
Hmm.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
Ew.
He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul.
David has a lisp.
That's creepy.
Of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Can you fathom?
You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
God, what are we, 12? Well, Jim, he lays me down on green pastures.
Rod and staff. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ass.
These dolls will cost $24.99. But there'll be discounts for churches, as well as free shipping to those who buy three or more dolls.
I can't imagine giving my child a doll that talked about walking through the valley of the shadow of death,
and
first of all.
Tall.
They'll have hand-sewn period clothing with Jesus wearing sandals and veils for Mary. They also have movable limbs and hands that can grip objects. They expect to sell 50,000 biblical dolls by the end of the year.
Do they have one of those? Can it grip a machine gun for when they go to gun down abortion doctors?
Jesus is supposed to be the top seller.
Does it come with a heretic or unvirtuous woman doll that they can stone to death?
All right,
there you go. Boy, it's so hard to get good voice talent these days. The David doll sounds very uninspired. He doesn't sound like he's...
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not...
It's kind of homoerotic.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
Our menu options have recently changed.
He restores my soul.
Your call may be recorded for quality assurance.
For his name's sake, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
If this is a technical emergency, please hang up and dial.
They comfort me.
All right. Okay, there you go.
Ugh.
Oh, boy, Christianity's embarrassing. There's your religious nutcase watch for Thursday. What is it with Michael Jackson constantly licking the side of people's heads? How many licks does it take to get to the center of Macaulay Culkin? That's uncalled for. Here's Tim Riley.
This comes just from Florida, of all places.
There we go.
A man confesses it was kind of fun to kill his neighbor. A 34-year-old man said during a jailhouse interview that he enjoyed killing his busybody neighbor and would kill again if given the chance. This fellow named Zomer has been arrested in connection with the death of a 77-year-old woman found dead at her home in Miami Terrace in Osceola County. Police found Zomer driving a car missing from the home. Zomer admitted to Local 6 News that he killed his neighbor. He said she was a busybody and he wanted her dead. He also said he was tired of the woman spying on him and he brutally beat her and sliced her throat. I would do it again, Zomer said. It was kind of fun. See, when it was done, I went home and ate, and I went back, and I made the house look like a robbery. I was there for a while. He said it was easy to forget about the crime. It was like I was sitting down, and somebody else was doing it because it was like I was out looking in. It felt so good when it was done.
Well, there's something refreshing about that kind of enthusiasm. You don't see that a lot.
No.
Usually it's a lot of blubbering and a lot of, he's a good boy who made a terrible mistake. It's good to see somebody embracing their work and really taking pride in it for once.
Meanwhile, a party trick gone awry caused an explosion that ripped open the legs of the host and was so loud neighbors thought it was a blown transformer.
This just gets better and better. First of all, the phrase, a party trick gone awry. Mm-hmm. Where is it? Tell me it's in Florida. Tell me.
I'm looking here.
Tell me it's in Florida.
No, Tennessee.
There you go. That should be the, I don't know what we're going to do with the complete this phrase. Later on today, which was fantastic yesterday, by the way. The Rick Emerson's complete this phrase yielded some fantastic results towards the end of yesterday's program, through which we gave away some passes to the listener pre-party, which we're going to do again today. Now, I don't know. Real quickly, I don't want to get bogged down on this because we finished this story about the party trick that's gone awry. I'm unclear about whether we're going to use the same phrase as we did yesterday. Yesterday we had the phrase, the worst pain I ever felt was when, and then you had to call up and finish that with a story. And Sarah, you can verify this one. When we finished yesterday's show, I mean, we had not even begun to dip into the well of calls.
Calls were coming in after the show was over.
Coming in faster than we could even answer them. So it is tempting today to just go back and continue to use the same phrase to have you complete the following sentence. The worst pain I ever felt was when. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, stories of party things gone awry and things exploding in one's lap. Seems like there's a whole lot of phrases we could be using.
Well, this is John Winkler, who suffered serious injuries. Winkler sat cradling a large glass container, filled it with rubbing alcohol, added compressed air, and lit it, which essentially turned into a bomb, and the glass basically ripped his legs wide open. Winkler is a student. He was hospitalized at the Middle Tennessee Medical Center on the third floor. Another partygoer named Sean was also taken to the hospital but released. They were celebrating a birthday, and there were no minors but plenty of alcohol at the party.
That's fantastic.
Evidence of the party still remains Sunday in the trash bags in the drive of the tidy two-story White House with green shutters. A party mindset was illustrated by a car parked out front by a bumper sticker that read, Stoner Chicks Rule.
Well, they do indeed. Rick, that David doll sounds a little too much like Clyde if he was whispering.
And it did kind of sound like Clyde, didn't
it? Do we have the... we've closed the window. Can you bring the window back up with the Jesus doll? Should we just pull down the... you know that place where you always see your boyfriend's porn? Just pull down the little address bar, and you should be able to see the Jesus doll. He says the David doll sounds a lot like Clyde. If he was whispering, and if he'd say something about warm milk and cookies, I'm sure it'd triple sales. F Matt with some frankincense and myrrh.
This is brought to you by Barfly Magazine.
All right.
Top of the snuff watch.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
By the way, this isn't in reference to the biblical people we were just talking. David sounds a little bit like a closeted black man. There is he sounds not unlike the character of Keith or whatever his name is on 6 Feet Under. Here's your snuff watch for Thursday.
Andrea Dworkin wrote openly about the experiences of a prostitute, rape victim, and battered wife that led her to become a crusader against pornography and violence against women and a lightning rod for the feminist movement. She died Monday at her home with her husband John Stoltenberg. She and Stoltenberg, who were openly gay, began living together in 1974 and were married in 1998.
What are they? What are they like? Right wing Christians? Are they the? We were able to overcome our deviant lifestyle and. Andrea Dworkin, by the way.
She was 58.
Andrea Dworkin is a thoroughly useless and terrible human being who will be missed by no one, probably not even her family. Andrea Dworkin was responsible for dividing the sexes even further, for sharpening all the conflict in the gender wars, for spreading lies, myths, and propaganda about pornography, about female and male sexual behavior. And for those people who are either from Canada or live in Canada, you will know that Andrea Dworkin, along with Catherine McKinnon, is largely responsible for encouraging government intervention in broadcast to the effect that illegalized all kinds of broadcasts and all kinds of adult material for consenting adults. Andrea Dworkin was a completely horrible person. She was a propagandist of the worst sort. Andrea Dworkin
will be missed by no one.
Is the single worst thing that ever happened to American feminism. And the world is a better place without her. So there you go. Bon voyage.
Well, let's talk about more about children, shall we? Parents are more likely to give better care and pay closer attention to good-looking children, says a researcher at the University of Alberta. This comes to our
time with some fat, ugly kid.
Dr. Andrew Harwell based his claim on an observational study of children and shopping cart safety. With the approval of management and 14 different supermarkets, a team of researchers observed parents and their 2 to 5-year-old children for 10 minutes each, noting if the child was buckled into the grocery cart seat and how often the children wandered more than 10 feet away.
And again, I'm only reading into the actual story here. I'm basing this upon the actual journalistic reporting.
Mm-hmm.
Is the sort of implied subtext that if you have a fat, homely child, you let it wander away from you in the store in hopes that it won't come back?
Cry and scream and break things.
Is that what they're saying here? Let's buckle the good-looking children into the shopping cart. Let's let the fat, ugly children just sort of swing loose here, right above the hard concrete floor. And you know what? You know it is true. If you ever gone to Lloyd Center, man, especially up on that food court, I don't know what it is, man. Normal-looking small children, they're always kept right by the parent's side. Parents are keeping a good eye on them. It's like the fatter and more stupid the child clearly is. And let's lose this fiction that you can't tell when a child is going to be stupid for the rest of his life. You know that you can. I mean, just the law of averages dictates that the average child is going to grow up to be dumb as a goddamn box of rocks, because most people are. But you... Sarah and I were at the mall the other day. Weren't we at the Lloyd Center four days ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're there. In fact, and I was there with Joni just a couple of days before that, so I've had to go to that.
Have you ever been to the Clackamas Town Center food court?
Oh, yeah.
More pregnant 15-year-olds than I've ever seen in my life.
I've been there, clearly, and where it's just stupidity that is going to span generation after generation. It's like acid dripping through the decks of the Nostromo. It's never going to stop. It's going to be stupid children having more stupid children having more stupid children, which, you know, who end up carjacking you and selling meth to your children. So I think that there's some subconscious thing, too, that goes on in the heads of parents. This is one of the reasons that I never want to have children, is that, I mean, it's like, what if you had a child and it just turned out to be horrifically ugly and dumb? I mean, wouldn't you be tempted just to go camping and leave it there? I mean, I'm not saying that that's... Like, you would eat just every day. You would have to wake up and realize that you gave birth to something that was, something that was repugnant and dumb. It would be a terrible way to live, I would think.
I know that children are from heaven and that they are our nation's greatest natural resource. I'm just saying, it can't be a big ball of fun when your child is obviously dense. Because say what you will, but that's forever.
Time now for the Cannibal Watch.
Here's your Cannibal Watch.
Well, let's check up on that old... Actually, this is the original cannibal, the German cannibal we talked about.
He's the OG cannibal.
He started this new trend. That German cannibal and prosecutors launch rabble appeals in Germany's top criminal court against his manslaughter conviction for killing and eating a willing victim. Armin Muse was sentenced to 8.5 years in January 2004 after a gory case that both fascinated and repulsed Germany and the world. Muse recorded the deed on videotape and shocked the court with his matter-of-fact account on how he served chunks of the man's body at the man's own request, which they both tried to eat, fried in a saucepan.
But he was all gristly.
Mm-hmm. All the more reason to become a vegetarian. Prosecutors believe the initial ruling and sentence was inadequate, and they wanted judges to convict Muse of murder as he had killed his victim to satisfy perverted desires. Right. His lawyer instead urged a conviction on the lesser charge of killing on request. apparently, the cannibal wasn't present. But he would not commit the same mistake again, he told the court. The German filmmaker announced plans last year to make a movie about the German cannibal with the working title, Your Heart in My Brain. It has already received funding from a regional film foundation.
All right, there you go. There's your Cannibal Watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up here in just a minute, we'll take a break here in a second. We'll have Richie Bristol from Max 910 Promotions, and we'll talk about tomorrow's old school video game contest, which is happening at Listener Party A. We're going to be giving away a brand new Xbox, $50 towards a game. Don't forget, we're also giving away a brand new TiVo. We've got the Dead Celebrity Costume Contest, first ever live Portland broadcast, a special live nighttime broadcast of the Rick Emerson Show. Your chance to say farewell to Sarah Dillon before she leaves us for the greener pastures of Coin 6 Television, etc. There's a weird thing happening. Hi, hold on, let me try to switch phone banks here. This is Maria, our friend Maria, who's in Paris, right?
Yeah, who paid a lot of money for the package to go to the next listener party, which she can't make.
All right, here we go. Maria?
Rick, it's me, bonjour! I'm in Paris!
All right, how is life in the Paris?
Well, let's just say the French are living up to their rep.
I see, because you went there with a girlfriend, you left your husband in the...
We did, and we have... a cot in the corner that's being taken up by a man. Say hello.
Hello, bonjour.
Can you hear?
Yes. Is he French?
All French.
Have him say something in French.
Say something in French.
Okay. No, yeah, all right. Nobody likes the wife. I know the phones do this weird echoey thing, but you paid, for people who don't remember this, you paid Maria during the kids giving auction that we were doing last year. You paid a grand. You paid $1,000 for this for a deluxe VIP package for the next listener party, which is this one, which was like a limo ride and the pre-party and the, like a special seating area, and you're not even going to get a chance to use it because you're in the gay Paris.
Yes, I'm in very gay Perry.
So you donated the grand, you're not even going to be able to use it.
No, but I expect major swag.
All right, we'll let you use it for the next one. All right, so how... I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say I'll send you a picture from atop the Eiffel Tower. Eiffel Tower. My girlfriend and I'm trying to convince her to bare her breasts for the picture, but
thank you. God love you. Spreading American culture through the... if you could get one of just you guys kissing at the top of the Eiffel Tower, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, see? You got to...
I always do my part.
You have to spread the Rick Emerson culture to the rest of the undeserving world.
Absolutely.
All right, well, Maria... Yes?
Have a great time tomorrow I'll try and do the same.
All right. Enjoy your enjoy the rest of your time. Say hi to the Frenchman on the cot for me.
I will.
All right. There you go. Kyle is weeping bitter tears that he's not with you, by the way.
We're weeping for Kyle.
All right, there you go. There's our friend Maria, live from... the phone's doing a weird thing. Live from Paris. We get back, we'll talk to Richie Bristol from Axe 910 Promotions. Later on, Jen Lane, Brian the Bling Master will be here, Jolie from Corporate Accounts Payable, and we'll have another exciting installment of Complete This Sentence. Stay there.